a blessing to see everybody here today in church. I would recommend that you stick around to the very end because we have a special announcement to make today. So if you can, stay to the end of service because we have an announcement that we need to make today. Amen. So the past several weeks, we've been studying the topic of prayer, right? We've been learning about prayer and the importance of prayer, right? And, you know, I hope this week is actually the last week that we'll be discussing the issue, the topic of prayer. And I just hope that one thing everyone can take away from this series over the past 3 weeks is, you know, we've been studying how to receive 100% answered prayers. And I just hope everybody can take away that, you know, prayer is something that you yourself have to decide is important for your life. Yeah, when you become a Christian, when you become a believer, you are actually deciding that your life is dependent on God. Your life is dependent on what he can do for you in your life. So you must pray, right? Because if you don't pray, you don't actually give God the ability to move and operate in your life. You don't actually allow God to have free course in your life. Yeah, when you don't pray, it's actually a sign of pride. Yeah, because the Bible says, if you have your Bibles with you, which you should, I say this every Sunday, you should come to church with your Bibles. I'll read you a verse. If you turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I don't believe this is a verse that we have, but I think it's important. I believe it's important that this is read. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." Yeah, and pray. So when you pray, you must be humble to pray. Yeah, the fact that you don't pray, the fact that you pray very minimal, or the fact that you only pray maybe when there's a crisis in your life is actually a sign of pride. Because what you are saying is that you control your life. If you are going to be successful at something, if you're going to achieve something, it's because of you. You are actually saying that God doesn't have the ability or he isn't powerful enough to do what his word says he can do. Yeah, when you don't pray, you are actually showing pridefulness. So I just want us to begin from this Sunday onward. We are going to try to become prayerful people. We're going to try to become prayerful Christians. You know, last week we read a verse. Last week we read a verse in the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I believe that is a verse that we have, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Well, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says this is the key verse maybe for this whole series, is this verse, right? So if you're going to take anything away from the past 3 weeks, this is the key verse to take, right? It says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind." Or if you read it another version, it says, "being watchful and thankful, and a thankful heart," right? Devote yourselves to prayer. Now, when you devote yourself to something, it doesn't mean that now prayer is all that you do. You just live in a room and just pray. No, but what it means by the word devote, we read last week what it means to be devoted to something, for those of you who are here. But the definition of being devoted to something means to be focused on that particular thing almost exclusively. Yeah, almost exclusively. When you are in a relationship and you are devoted to somebody, based on this definition, it is you are focused on that person exclusively. It says that when you are devoted to a cause, you work to achieve its goals. If you can identify in your life that I want to pray more, I want to develop my prayer time with God, I want to be somebody who has a personal relationship with Christ, then it says that that is a cause. That is a thing in your life you are trying to achieve. And it says that you work to achieve its goals. Yeah, if you have a goal to lose weight, you gradually work on it. people who are successful at losing a lot of weight, it is because they have devoted themselves to losing weight. They've changed their diet. They've changed their lifestyle. They've changed a lot of things about them. They've even had, number one, they've changed also their mindset. Before they can even successfully lose weight, they have to change their mindset because certain decisions and certain ways they thought about things before, they can no longer live and think like that. And the same applies to prayer, right? In order for you to become somebody who is prayerful all the time, in order for you to become somebody who is prayerful every day, somebody who you say that every day you can pray just you and God for 1 hour, it's a mindset that has changed. Yeah, your mindset on prayer has changed. The importance of prayer has changed. You must develop as a Christian out of just where you pray for 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. I mean, if that's where you're at today, it's a great thing. It's a blessing. But you must know that there's a place that you can get to where you are praying every day for 1 hour and you are talking to God about it. Because if you think about it, your whole life and everything you need from God, you only give yourself 10 minutes to talk to him about it. You only give yourselves 10 minutes. Some of us, we can go multiple days in a week and we haven't prayed once. Or we prayed maybe just a short prayer. But your whole life, every aspect of your life, you've only prayed 10 minutes on it. I mean, how much can you really say in 10 minutes? Yeah, so I just hope that we continue to develop from this Sunday onward. We continue to give ourselves the space and time to pray. Yeah, pray about your life. You know, our bishop, Bishop Dag Hayward Mills, he has a book entitled Everything by Prayer, Nothing Without Prayer. And when you open the book and you begin to read, I think from the first chapter, it's listing all the different things you can pray about. And you'll be surprised. Some of us, maybe we think we should only pray for forgiveness, or you limit what you can talk to God about. But I'm telling you from today, God is interested in every aspect of your life, your finances, your love life, your career, your maybe your side hustle, everything that you have, your relationship with your family, your parents, everything that you are interested in, every personal issue that you have, God is interested in it. Yeah, so from today, take a decision that you are going to pray. When I was in college, I remember when I was about to graduate, somebody told me that, oh, you'll think that life becomes easier now that you're no longer in school. But what you'll actually realize is that now you have more areas of your life to focus on. And I've come to realize it, that when you graduate, when you finish school, or just as you get older, you begin to realize that your life is actually in different areas. You have an area of maybe your finances, that's one class. And then you have another area of maybe your career. And then you have another area of maybe your relationship with God. All three very important areas. And you must pray about such areas. You must pray about your career. You must pray about your relationship with God. Pray and tell God that you want to grow, you want to develop, you want to get closer to him, that he should know you. Yeah. So, you know, I just want to encourage us from this Sunday onward, you know, take time every day and pray. If your prayer life today is at a certain place, try and push and challenge yourself, right? Maybe right now your challenge is just consistency with prayer. It's just every day doing prayer. Then maybe challenge yourself that for the next 7 days until next Sunday when we meet, God willing, that you will pray every day from today until next Sunday. Maybe that is your challenge. Yeah, if you're successful at praying every day, maybe your challenge next is going to be the amount of time you spend in prayer. So maybe instead of praying for 10 minutes a day, maybe you push yourself and you pray for 20, or you pray for half an hour every day. It is about challenging yourself. And that's why the definition of the word devote, as we have the verse on the screen, it says that you are focused on that particular thing almost exclusively. Like you are giving yourself to the cause. So you are giving yourself to the goal of every day you're praying for 20 minutes. I mean, you've given yourself to it. When you wake up in the morning, it's on your mind. Some of us, when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is grab our phones, Instagram, whatever. But some people, when they wake up, they begin to plan, okay, when will I pray today? When will I give myself that time to pray? And some of us, if we were to be honest, the time we spend early in the morning just scrolling mindlessly on social media. That time you could use to pray. You could use those 20 minutes, that time you could use it to pray. But a lot of times you scroll and scroll. Next thing you know, 30 minutes has passed. Now you have to get out of bed. Yeah, so I just want to encourage us, let's develop our prayer lives. Let's not take this series lightly. You know, to begin the new year, we all have goals. We all have things we would like this year to bring us. We all have things that we want to achieve this year. And it's by prayer that you will achieve those things. So I just want us to be encouraged that it's important to pray and give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to prayer truly. So we've been studying steps to 100% answered prayer. This is the last week. So this is the last maybe three steps of that series. If you would like to go back and listen to any of the previous messages, they're all on our podcast. So for those of you who are new, or maybe you don't know, we actually have a podcast. If you have an iPhone and you go on the Apple Podcast app, you just search FLC Delaware and it'll come up, and you'll actually be able to listen to every message from every Sunday on there. We're also on Spotify as well. So if you prefer Spotify, you can also go on there and search FLC Delaware. You'll be able to listen to our messages on there as well for free as also. So yeah, steps to 100% answered prayer. This is part three. If we can turn our Bibles to the book of James chapter 4 and verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You ask with wrong motives. I think this would be the seventh in the series. This would be the seventh reason. The seventh step to 100% answered prayer is do not pray amiss. Yeah, do not pray amiss. So what does it mean to pray amiss? The term amiss. Praying amiss means that you pray unacceptable, unsuitable, inappropriate, inadmissible, impermissible, or unsatisfactory and impossible prayers. Yeah, it means that you pray for things that are impossible to come. Yeah, or you pray for things that are not in God's will. So like if you pray that your husband dies, it's unacceptable. It's unsuitable. You cannot pray such prayers. They are impermissible. God will not mind you when you pray such prayers, right? And I'll say something in a second about other types of prayers, right? But God will not do things which are against his principles, right? So you cannot pray that someone dies. You cannot pray for bad harm on people. You cannot even really, to be honest, if somebody does you wrong, you cannot speak and try and curse the person through prayer. Yeah, you cannot. Because and this verse, you see, it says that when you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive. So another type of praying amiss is when you in your heart know that this thing you're asking for, you're not asking it with the correct motive. Yeah, you're asking it to feed your flesh. Yeah, you know, if you were in this church a while back last year, we went through a series on the inner man, what it means to develop the inner man. And we learned that every human being is made up of three parts, right? Your flesh, your spirit, and your soul. Your flesh is obviously the physical. That's what we see. It's what we interact with. Your soul is what's inside of you. It is what makes up your emotions, your intellect, the way you think. That comes from your soul. And your spirit man, is what is in communion with God. When you pray is what is speaking with God. When you die someday and you go to heaven, that is what we will see in heaven, is your spirit man. So many people, they spend a lot of time developing their outward man, their flesh. And that's what this verse is saying. It's saying that you pray for things because you yourself know that you want to spend it to get, you want to spend what you get on your pleasures. Yeah, your fleshly pleasures, the things of the flesh. So maybe you are praying and asking for a certain car, or you are praying and asking for a certain amount of money, but you're only asking to spend on your pleasures. You're not asking it to develop yourself. You're not asking it to help yourself to grow, right? You're not asking it to maybe develop the kingdom of God or to do things in church, but you are asking for cars and money and earthly things. Yeah, you know, some time ago, I was listening to a message from our bishop, And he made a comment that has always stuck with me. This may have been maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And he said that when you pray, 98% of your prayers should be for spiritual things. Meaning that when you pray, the majority of your prayers should be for things like wisdom, revelation, things like the spirit of God's will, things like asking God for discernment, asking God for peace. 98% of your prayers should be for those things. Many of us spend most of our time praying and we're asking God for, I need a car, I need this, I need that. But you must first spend time praying for wisdom. Yeah, because those things come in it. When you pray for God's will, it comes. When you, if you are truly a believer, if you are truly working on yourself as a born-again Christian, then you know that you want to live your life based on the will of God for you. You don't want to live your life based on your own desires. So it's more important to pray for God's will than it is to pray that you get the new job. It's actually more because you rather want to be where God wants you to be. You want the job where God wants you to be. Yeah, so always try and think in a deeper way. Always try and think about your prayer life in a little bit more intentional way. God knows us. So when you go to him with a problem, he knows the problem. He's watched it happen. He sees what you're going through. Yeah, but spend time and pray for wisdom. Spend time praying for God's grace. Pray for mercy. Yeah, pray for spiritual things. Don't spend too much time praying for just worldly things. Yeah, because the issue with praying for worldly things and the reason we don't receive it is because God knows that we will just spend it on our pleasures. If you turn to Mark chapter 10 and verse 9. Mark chapter 10 and verse 9. We may not have that verse. And that is okay. So the next reason or the next step. So the first step or the seventh step, sorry, the seventh step to 100% answered prayer is do not pray amiss, right? Do not pray amiss. So then the eighth step to 100% answered prayer is pray only for what you see the Father doing. Pray only for what you see the Father doing. Now you may ask, what are some of the things that you see the Father doing? The Father being God, right? What are some of the things that we see him doing? And these things must come from the Bible. So first thing that we see God doing, James chapter 1 and verse 5. We can turn our Bibles there. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1, 5. So the first thing we see God doing is God is giving wisdom, right? God is giving wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5. It says that if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom. Now, young people, most all of us here today are young people. One of the things about being young is that your life is out in front of you. So when you are young, it's like you see so many more years in front of you. And what you will need for the next 40 years, this morning, for those of you who are watching the flow service with our bishop, you will see that he made a comment where he said that, you know, in 40 years, many of us may not be around. And I just started counting my age plus 40. And I was like, wow, 40 years, it's a long ways off. But in 40 years, I'll be the age of our bishop now, or around his age. And you see that when you are a young person, you have your whole life out in front of you. Everything is out in front of you. There are so many things that haven't happened to you. And what you really need is wisdom. Many young people make mistakes, honestly speaking, because of a lack of wisdom. Financial mistakes because of a lack of wisdom. They make relationship mistakes because of a lack of wisdom. Yeah, and the Bible says in James 1:5 that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously. Yeah, I hope you are reading the verse. It says that you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. God will not withhold wisdom from you because of your mistakes. Yeah, because of your sins, because of your transgressions. So you should ask all the time for wisdom. Yeah, it says that God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So when you pray for wisdom, there's a guarantee that this is one topic, one issue, that when you pray about it, you will guarantee to get it. Like you will always get wisdom. When you pray for wisdom, it will come. Because the Bible says that God who gives generously, the Bible says God who gives generously to all without finding fault. Yeah, to everyone without finding fault. It says that, and then it says it will be given to you. So from today, I pray that you will ask God for wisdom. I pray that you will see a need for wisdom. Yeah, wisdom. Let me read you a verse about wisdom. For those of you who may be questioning, who may be feeling as though wisdom is a bit vague. What does it mean to be wise? Let me give you one of the promises of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16. I don't believe we have that verse, but it's okay. For those of you taking notes, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16, it says that long life is in her right hand. Yeah, so it's describing wisdom as a person, and it's saying that long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Those of you seeking financial gain, financial prosperity, it's through wisdom that brings it. And then it says long life is in the other hand. If you want to live a long life, it comes through wisdom. If you want to do well in life, if you want financial gain, if you want to be rich, it says that an honor. It says that also in her left hand. Yeah, so praying for wisdom brings you these three things, right? It brings you number one, long life. It brings you number two, riches. And number three, it brings you honor. Amen. So I hope you are encouraged to pray. Pray and ask God for wisdom. Pray, you know, wisdom is, the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. The way you live your life, the way you, the decisions you even choose to make are all going to show based on your wisdom. Yeah, everybody has their own wisdom and has their own life. And the way you choose to live it, we're all here to observe and to see. Amen. So what's the next thing that we'll see the Father doing, right? So this is the point of pray only for what you see the Father doing. So you see the Father doing healing. Yeah, the Father actually heals people. If we turn to John chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 8. John chapter 5, verse 1. We'll start from verse 1. John chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, sometime later. So this is a story. We're going to read a few verses here. If you come to church today, you know, bring your Bible. Expect to read verses. We're going to read a few verses. It's a story of Jesus healing a certain woman. So John chapter 5 and verse 1, it says that sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bathsheba, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Next verse, please. Here a great number of disabled people who used to lie. People used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. So there was somebody there at this pool, at this place where paralyzed people would lie, right? People would lay. And the types of people were the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And there was a particular person who had been there for 38 years. Next verse, please. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well, sir?" The invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Next verse. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." So just like that, he was healed. So the importance of this story is that we see the Father doing through Jesus, healing people. And in our personal lives as believers, we must pray for ourselves to be healed, especially in this season of life. Yeah, pray for good health. Yeah, it's actually one of the things you can pray to God about. Ask God for good health. Don't wait until you are feeling ill before you pray for good health. Pray for good health when you feel good, especially in this time of life. Pray and ask God to feel better. Pray and ask God for good health. Yeah, yeah. Take time and speak to God about the way that you feel. It's important to pray for good health. Many people are unsuccessful in their prayer life because they are not led by God. Yeah, many people are unsuccessful. Even something like praying for good health. The reason that many people don't seem to ever really find good health or even find what they're looking for in prayer is because of the fact that they're not led by God. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Yeah, we can tell the type of Christian you are by the way you are led. What leads you to it will show us the type of Christian you are. Your life is evidence of what you believe in. Amen. If we can show 1 John 5:14, I hope you guys are here. The chat box seems very quiet today. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Amen. It is a confidence that we have when we approach God. Yeah, last week I read a verse that said that you must have the power to believe in what God can do. Yeah, and this is another verse showing us that you must be confident in approaching God. You must be confident that when you go to him asking him for something, that he will do what you are asking for. And that's why the first point today was do not pray amiss. Yeah. When you pray amiss, you are only diluting and making your confidence in your prayer life go down. Because the more you pray and you don't receive, you begin to question if I should continue to pray. Yeah, but it's important to have confidence when you pray. It's important to know that, wow, this thing I'm coming to pray about, it will definitely be answered. God will definitely hear my voice. Amen. The verse says that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, anything according to God's will. So another thing I told you that you should pray about often is God's will for your life. Pray for God's will for your life all the time. Always pray that God directs your steps. Always pray for that verse. There is a verse in Proverbs that it says that man makes plans in his heart, but it is the Lord who orders his steps. God is the one who orders our steps, but pray and give God permission. When you pray, you are actually giving God permission in your life to direct your footsteps, to guide your path. Amen. And then the last reason, or the last step to 100% answered prayer is let the word of God abide in you. Now, how can the word of God abide in you? The word of God can only abide in you through two ways. Number one, through hearing it, right? That's why we mentioned the podcast today. You know, hearing the preaching, hearing messages, put something in you. There's some verses I only know them, or I only remember them because I was listening to a message and it was mentioned and it stuck with me. Yeah, and I always tell, and one thing I'll always say is if you are listening to a message, right, from any preacher, if you are listening to a message and he says a verse and it really and it hits you, like you know the feeling when the verse kind of startles you a bit. You're like, wow, he's really saying something. Always open your Bible and check it. Yeah, check your Bible right then and there. You have the Bible app on your phone, open your Bible and read it again. Because those verses stick with you. There are some verses that will always be in your heart because of that type of thing. So number one is hearing the messages. And number two is reading the Bible on your own. Yeah, many of us don't read the Bible on our own. If we were to be honest, many of us, we don't read the Bible by ourselves during the week. The only time we read the Bible is on Sunday when we're projecting scriptures on the screen. That's when you even hear the verses being read. Yeah, but you must listen to the Bible. On the Bible app, you can actually play the audio. So you can just listen to the audio Bible playing. Yeah, but you must read the Bible. All of that helps the Word of God to get in. That is the step number one to abiding in the Word of God. If we can turn our Bibles to Psalms 119, 133. Yeah, Psalms 119 and verse 133. Psalms 119 and 133, it says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word." Yeah, direct my footsteps according to your word. Once again, you know, if we are calling ourselves Christians, yeah, there has to be a difference between us and the people in the world. And the difference is that the way we live our life, that the way our footsteps are directed. This verse says, direct my footsteps according to your word and let no sin rule over me. There are some sins that rule over people. Yeah, because some sins are like a spirit. They actually stay with you. They're familiar with you. And it seems as though every time you try and maybe increase your level, every time you try and go to a new level, there are some people who have been in poverty for a long time, not because of, I mean, yeah, we have things like, you know, systematic issues and whatever, but some people have been in poverty for a long time. And a big reason why is there's a spirit following them. Yeah, poverty is a spirit and you can actually pray yourself out of it. Yeah, people who struggle, it seems like they never have money. Like, it's like they can never accumulate any money. It's an issue. You must pray about it. You must pray. First, you must recognize that this thing is a problem. You know, I've said this before. We preached a message a long time ago, and I made this comment that, you know, if you think about your family, think deeply sometimes about the people in your family and what trends you seem to see. There's some families where nobody is married. Like, no one is married. Everybody gets married and they divorce. Everybody has children and then they divorce. Like, there's nobody who's married. You must pray about it if you want to get married. You must pray about it because it's something that you see is running through the family. If you see everybody in your family, there's not one person who maybe is doing well financially. You must pray about it. Because there are something called familiar spirits. And as they know you, they know your family, they don't leave you alone. And that's why the Bible is saying that let no sin rule over me. Like, some issues that we have in our life, they can rule you. They can direct your path. Yeah, the sin rather can direct your footsteps. The thing you are struggling with can direct your footsteps. Amen. It seems like everybody's quiet today. God's word must direct your life in the way that you choose to live your life. Yeah, the way you live your life must be directed by God's word. If we can turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 as we close. And you see, this type of message, I don't always like to even preach this type of message because I know what it means to be a young person, number one. And I know what it means to be a young person who's developing in their Christian walk, right? But the word of God is the word of God. And if we're calling ourselves believers, it's something that we must embrace. Yeah, we must embrace the word of God. We must. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. So when we're talking about sins that can rule over people, right? Sins that literally can direct people's footsteps. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 begins to outline some of these sins. Number one, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Yeah, sins that rule over us begin with the flesh. So number one, sexual immorality. Number two, impurity. Number three, debauchery. Verse 20, please. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. Yeah, jealousy is something that it's a sin that can rule over people. Fits of rage. So when you know people who just get angry, the smallest thing, they blow up. It's a sign of something that's ruling over them. Selfish ambition. Yeah, when you are only ambitious to see yourself do well. Yeah, it's like you yourself, it's like you're the only person who can do well. There's some people who have friends like that. It's like within a friends group, they are never happy for the other friend's success. Like if you have three friends or four friends in a group and you do well and you have an accomplishment, I'm not genuinely happy for you. Yeah, I only want to see myself win. Yeah, there's some friends like that. Pray against such friends. Actually, don't pray. Remove yourself from those friends. Yeah, if you have a friend and you can notice that when you have an accomplishment, they're never truly happy for you. Or maybe they just give a bland congrats. Now that's it. Like no real excitement, nothing. They never want to celebrate you. It's a sign of something there. It's a sign of selfish ambition because when it's their turn, when they have an accomplishment, now you'll see that they want you to celebrate them. Remove yourself from such people because such people will always make you feel like your accomplishments are not worthy. Next, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So the last statement, right, and the like, it means anything else that falls into these buckets of things. We can think of the rest, right? Pridefulness can also be included. Pridefulness wasn't listed here, but it's of the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. So when you live in this way, what the Bible tells us is that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot really grow into Christ when this is the way you're living. And there's some Christians that will see, and that's why I like this verse, because, you know, some of these things are hidden. Yeah, some of these things are hidden. When you meet a Christian, they can seem nice, presentation, everything is well put together. They have the full package, but deep inside, you see that they really are jealous. They struggle a lot with jealousy, or they struggle a lot with selfish ambition, or hatred. Yeah, they deep down inside, they hate you. Yeah, they actually hate you. There's some people in your life that maybe you haven't come to see it now, but they actually hate you. Yeah, they just haven't said it clearly, but their actions, the little remarks they make, it's actually a sign of hatred there. You have to watch out for those people. Pray for discernment about your friends. I feel like I should say that. Pray for discernment about the people you allow around you, your friends. Be mindful of your friend group. Be mindful of the people. I personally do not believe that you should have a lot of friends. Yeah, and don't get me wrong. You can have associates. You can have people in your life that you keep around you, but don't have too many friends. It's not a good thing. You should maybe have 1, 2, 3 actual people you call friends. See, the difference between a friend and an associate is a friend is somebody you can have some expectation with. You can go to them for support. Yeah, an associate is just there. So don't have too many friends, because every friend you have requires something out of you. Yeah, it requires something. So when you have 8, 9, 10 friends, be careful. And if you know people who have 8, 9, 10 friends, be careful of them, because that means that they have a lot of influences around them. You can't easily take good decisions when you say you have 12 friends. 12 friends, 12 different people that you call your friend. I mean, it's a lot of people. Yeah, so be mindful of that. I felt as though I should say that. Pray and ask God for discernment about the people you have in your life and the people you call friends. Amen. I don't even know how we got here, but I believe it's a blessing. So yeah, the last step to 100% answered prayer, let the word of God abide in you. Yeah, so this verse must abide in you. These verses must abide in the way you live. Yeah, as a Christian, we must be able to see that by the way you live, you are a Christian. Fits of rage. When you see somebody who just blows up, I mean, it's a problem. Yeah, they must pray about it. Amen. So verses like this should, you know, abide in you. They should direct the way you live. They should direct your path. Yeah, they should direct the things you do, and the things that you do not do should be directed based on the word of God. Amen. So I hope, you know, as we've gone through this series, I hope that, you know, we've been blessed by the topic of how to receive 100% answered prayer. If you've missed anything, any part of the series, you can listen to it again on our podcast. But I believe it's been a blessing to each and every one of you. So if you are there, let's please bow our head and close our eyes for a word of prayer as we close today's service. Just pray for yourself. If you want, place your hand over your heart and just pray for yourself. Speak to God about your prayer life and about your relationship with Him. Ask God to help your prayer life to develop. Ask God to help grow and increase your prayer life. Pray that by the end of the year, your prayer life will not be what your life is today. Amen. Pray and continue to talk with your God. Speak with God. Father, I pray for everybody who came to church today. Lord, I pray that you will change our relationships with you, our personal relationship with you. Lord, help us to come closer to you. Help us, Lord, to be more tied to you, God. May we be more tied to your spirit. May we become Christians who live a life based on your word. Lord, I pray for our prayer life, so God. May you see a change. May you see effort, oh God, that we are trying to develop time with you. We are trying to get closer to you, that we are trying to work on ourselves, oh God. As you have called us to be believers, God, I pray, Father God, that you'll open a door for us to get closer to you. You'll open a door for us to continue to walk with you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we will not stay the same in our personal relationships with you. Help us to be developed. Help us to be increased, Lord. May we not stay the same, Lord. May we grow from a new level, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. So at this time, let's have our offering, please, if we can show our offering instructions. So if you have your offering or your tithes with you, you can please follow the prompts on the screen to give an offering or to give your tithes. So if it's your first time giving, you can text LCI GIVE to 4577.